Welcome to the Buckmaster Show. It is Friday. It is the 15th of July, 2011. I am Bill Buckmaster, and I thank you very much for choosing our program. We are live Monday through Friday at 12 noon on KVOI, AM 1030, Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station, and The Voice Network with our simulcast partners in Douglas and in Globe. And, of course, we're always on the World Wide Web at buckmastershow.com, where all of our shows are archived for your 24/7 listening pleasure. Fridays on The Buckmaster Show, we begin with our Friday Focus, featuring a newsmaker interview. Then at the bottom of the hour, it's the Friday Radio Reporters Roundtable, and we'll close out the show with Weekend Watch with Matt Russell. Today's Friday Focus newsmaker is with Tucson City Manager Mike Letcher. Joining me in our conversation with City Manager Mike Letcher is Sarah Garrett Gasson. Sarah is from the Arizona Daily Star. And we invite you to join in the conversation from wherever you are in Arizona, 790-2040. You can also submit questions at bill@buckmastershow.com or on the Buckmaster Show page on Facebook. Real excited on Facebook. We hit 800 friends today. That's a cause for a celebration just since June 1st. So that's not too bad. 800 friends of the Buckmaster Show. We also try to post a preview of each day's show at least 24 hours in advance on Facebook so you can check out our guests. So let's get right at it. Sarah and I ready to talk with City Manager Mike Letcher. Mike, thanks for being with us.
Well, it's good to be here, Bill.
So we have just passed the fiscal year. Another difficult kind of financial year, certainly for the city of Tucson. Give us kind of a quick assessment of where we are as we begin fiscal 2011-2012.
We started, Bill, with a $40, $50 million deficit. And, you know, thanks to the council, mayor and council's leadership, the hard work of our department directors and employees, we're able to trim that down to around $9 million. And that really puts us in a really good position going forward because hopefully the economy will stabilize. And looking around the country, I was kind of shocked yesterday. I was reading an article that Toronto, Canada, great city, has a $744 million deficit.
But that's Canadian.
Yeah, that's Canadian. Yeah, so you convert it. Yeah, you convert it to Canadian.
But
so
with the dollar being very, very bad right now, a Canadian dollar is worth about $1.4. U.S. So actually, that's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money. Yeah. So one of the things is I think we're in a good position moving forward to 13. And again, it's leadership of the council and our department directors, employees to make that possible.
I wanted to ask about the story about the 911 system that we had on the front page of the Star yesterday. The thing that we kept talking about in the editorial department, and we had a piece on it today, was the idea that the 911 system for paramedics and emergency responders, it makes sense, upgrade it. Other entities are using it. That's fine. But what we couldn't get past was the idea that the existing system would be scrapped before the new system came online and was proven to be working well, and it led to some apparent really bad consequences. Can you talk about that process and who decided to take it offline before the new one had shown itself to be working?
Well, sir, I appreciate that. And one of the things that we, you know, again, this has been a process we've been very, very concerned with. And again, public safety, in my opinion, hasn't been compromised. But we, after that question was raised, we actually drilled down into the person that was responsible for the implementation. And quite frankly, we didn't unplug the system when the new system came on. In fact, there was a period of time that they tested to make sure that the new system was working properly before they stopped the old system. And we will be putting some information out on that. I wish I'd known that yesterday. It would have been nice. But again, this is a situation where, you know, unfortunately, when we're trying to determine and get to the facts, because what I rely on is not myth or fiction, but I rely on facts. And so I have asked very, very, you know, drilling down and to find out what's happened here. I think I feel fine about the fact that public safety hasn't been compromised, but until today when we discovered that there was a period of time where that system, we still had two systems before we disconnected the other, and we'll be putting some information out on that later.
So you
today.
Just discovered this information
just
today.
Oh, yeah, because otherwise yesterday I would have mentioned it. And again, my first focus when I looked at it was to make sure that our response times, meaning that the fire department response had not been affected. And that's the first thing I did when getting involved in this, and I looked at that. You guys asked a great question, and we should have had an answer yesterday, and obviously, I had it today, but I wish I'd had that information yesterday, and I'd been able to respond.
So it could have been in print today.
Yeah, it could have been, but that's fine. We'll deal with it. At the time.
But you said that public safety hadn't been compromised, but from the STARS reporting, it appears that the faulty the new system, problems with the addresses not coming up on the dispatcher screens. Could have contributed to the death of a 10-year-old girl. Is that not the case?
Well, and again, I've got to be careful because the old system did that. And I think it's a huge leap to say that, oh, this wouldn't have happened. I just, at this point right now, I think that I can't speak about this unfortunate death. But under our old system, it did that. And the thing I tried to get across yesterday, it wasn't an option for us to keep this old system. It was analog. It would have eventually failed completely. And think about that, completely failing, and we'd have hundreds of calls. So I'm not going to speak. I can't address that unfortunate situation because it's in litigation or could be potential litigation. I just can't do it.
And I just want to make sure that I understand what you were saying. You were saying that under the previous system, there were instances where a person would call 911 and the address from where they were calling did not pop up.
It happens. It happens. It happens even with the new system, the police department, which is similar to the system that now is in general services. If you call the city of Phoenix, it happens around the country. There's just sometimes the addresses don't show up. I'll give you an example. I made a call on my phones aren't blocked, my cell phones. I called someone on a cell phone last week, and they said, Mike, I didn't answer because it said when you block the phone. I don't know how that happened. I checked all my settings. So who knows what's – there's anomalies out there somewhere in the system. I don't know if it's a phone connection or whatever that did that. And so it happens in every system, dispatch system in the country. No matter what provider you have, you're going to get instances where the address doesn't show up. But you have procedures in place to check to be sure if that address doesn't show up that you verify, what's the correct address. And unfortunately, when this happened, the verification, someone gave us there was a whole litany of things that led to the unfortunate situation.
So in the industry, in this communication, emergency communication business, what you're saying is basically there is no 100% guarantee in that industry.
There is. If someone had a dispatch system that 100% of the time the addresses would show up, sure like to see it. That vendor would probably – it happens around
– a lot of money.
Yeah, it happens around the country. But again, there's protocols in place when that happens – strict protocols that the person, dispatcher, should follow. And in this particular case, the dispatcher didn't follow those protocols, and that's why that person's, that's now a disciplinary action.
It's 13 minutes past the hour on the Buckmaster Show. If you have a question for Tucson City Manager Mike Letcher, 790-2040. We had Paul Cunningham, Tucson City Councilman, on the Buckmaster Show earlier this week, Mike Letcher, and we had a call, and I promised that I would convey this on to you from that caller because it was directed about some raises that were given out that you had signed for. And the caller was concerned in these economic times, why is the city giving out raises, basically was the crux of the question.
Yeah, Bill, I appreciate that. And again, I want to emphasize these were not raises. These were there's promotion and increases for additional responsibility. And we have a situation where even now, even with furloughs, employees, when they take on additional responsibilities, they get promoted. A sergeant going from a sergeant to a lieutenant in the police department. They get promoted.
So they're not going to stay.
Yeah, they're not going to stay.
At the same pay rate if they get a promotion in the police department or fire department.
Or a fire department or any department. The unusual thing about these are – I don't usually sign for promotions or pay raises based upon additional responsibility. But in this particular case, Kelly going from chief financial officer to assistant city manager, she works directly for me. I signed for it. In the case of Mike Graham, he is still in transportation, but he is now taking over the entire city communications. So I signed for his. And the other person I signed for theirs. Usually I don't do that. It's handled by the department director, but in this case I signed for him, and that's what made the news.
Still to come with Mike Letcher, we'll be talking about the road situation, and judging by all the calls and the comments we've gotten when we're talking to the councilman, lots of people are concerned about roads. That and other information, Sarah Garrett Gasson from the Arizona Daily Star, and I will be back to talk with Mike Letcher as we continue with Friday Focus on the Buckmaster Show. Stay with us.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our citizens realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and create a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in and support of education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's Pima Community College students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a literate, prosperous, thriving Tucson and Pima County. During these extraordinarily tough times, our funding is in serious jeopardy. And as budgets get even tighter, we'll have to cut back services just when people need us the most. So please support us in our ongoing effort to build a better tomorrow. Help us provide the education and resources that the people of Pima County need today. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us on the web at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero More, Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza, topped with the finest, freshest quality ingredients. Enjoy casual yet upscale dining while sampling our extensive boutique wine list. Vero More in Tucson at North Swan and Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at veromoripizza.com. And now open in Oro Valley, Noble Hops, the Tucson area's first gastro pub.
From antique to contemporary, Persia to Pakistan, Tibet to Turkey, Karimi Oriental Rugs brings the world to Tucson at the corner of East Fort Lowell and Dodge. Owner-operator Amir Karimi personally selects the world's finest exquisite hand-woven rugs. Sale, purchase, wash, repair, restore, and appraise. East Fort Lowell and Dodge for Karimi Oriental Rugs and KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
For 5 years, the RTA has been delivering our promise to you, finishing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways, with 30 projects underway, including River Road to Ruthroth along La Cholla and the Star Pass Mission Road intersection. Please use caution in the area and obey all traffic signs. The RTA has also implemented transit services like Sun Express and Sun Shuttle. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
The Arizona Inn is the only Tucson hotel named by Travel and Leisure magazine as one of the top 500 hotels in the world for 2011. Located in Midtown, close to the University of Arizona, the Arizona Inn is located at 2200 East Elm Street and on the web at arizonainn.com. The Arizona Inn maintains AAA 4-diamond status for both the hotel and dining room, with Chef Allison serving up breakfast, lunch, and dinner daily, with a featured menu and seasonal favorites. And because the Arizona Inn is listed on the National Register of Historic Places, founded by Arizona's first Congresswoman, Isabella Greenway, the Arizona Inn provides an historic backdrop for your next special event. Arizona Inn is the perfect setting for weddings, anniversary celebrations, or your next business meeting. And you can make your reservations online at arizonainn.com. The Arizona Inn, luxury and elegance in the heart of Tucson.
Since 1959, Assistance League of Tucson has helped thousands of disadvantaged men, women, and children in the Tucson area. Donated items, thrift shop proceeds, volunteer hours, and financial gifts help support our philanthropic programs like Operation School Bell. Your generosity continues to change lives in our community. For more information on how you, too, can make a difference, visit us at AssistanceLeagueTucson.org. Assistance League of Tucson, volunteers working together.
It's 12:20 on the Buckmaster Show. It's Friday Focus, where we bring in a newsmaker. Sarah Garrett Gasson is from the Arizona Daily Star, editorial writer. She is joining me today in our questioning of Mike Letcher. He is the city manager for the city of Tucson, 790-2040. Let's go to Ted. And Mike, I'm going to ask you to please slip on your headset so you will be able to hear Ted's question. And Ted, go ahead. You're on the Buckmaster Show.
Hi. Our family's been contributing some donations to the Mission Gardens project, and we were just wondering, is that going to happen? What's the status of that?
Thank you, Ted, for the question. Go ahead, Mike Letcher.
Yes, Ted, I really appreciate the question. We're working right now. We're pulling a group of city and county staff together. The Ward 1 office under our council member, Regina Romero, has asked us to pull a meeting together, and we are going to be looking at developing a plan to operationalize the Mission Gardens. As you know, we've got a grant to put trees in the gardens, and I think the thing we're looking at here is to really make this this work. And so your donation, if we do our job, and I'm sure we will be well used in terms of getting that up and operational. And again, we're looking at not only the Friends of Tucson Birthplace, the county, the city, contributing to this. We already have grants, and I think we're heading in the right direction.
How long before Mission Gardens, that whole project, then could be up and running?
Well,
sort of a work in progress.
Well, I think this particular great question, but yeah. I think this particular piece with getting the trees mm-hmm. and things of that nature, and getting it so that we can be operational. If we can come to some agreement with the Friends of Tucson Birthplace, I would hope that by the latest mid next year, we'd have that up and going.
Here's Sarah Garrett Gasson from the Arizona Daily Star.
I wanted to ask about the city's relationship with the University of Arizona, with President Shelton leaving and heading up to the Fiesta Bowl, and the new president. I know he's not officially an interim. He's a president. But
the 20th president,
yes,
Sarah.
Yes, but he will only be there for a limited time. So,
as far as we know. Anyway.
Yes. So I wanted to just sort of get your thoughts on the relationship between the city as an entity and the U of A, and what, if anything, you could offer in terms of what the city would like to see in terms of the next U of A president, not discounting this current president, but as the university goes forward, and just what can we look forward to in terms of the relationship?
Well, I think, first of all, I think the loss of President Shelton is significant, because one of the things that with his vision and the university's vision, it's the first time I've been here in 10 years. I remember 10 years ago when I arrived from Crystal Land, Sedona, that I was like, why isn't the university more involved in downtown? They were like on the bench. And President Shelton made that move to get him involved downtown. I am going to meet with the interim president.
That could be one of his big legacies.
That is a huge legacy. Yeah. I am going to meet – I've already asked for a meeting with the interim president to make sure that we continue that.
Eugene Sander.
I look forward to that. And that is the biggest – that has been our biggest benefit. Having the students downtown, the other thanks to the county and getting some of the departments from the university moved downtown. We've talked to him about an incubator downtown. Those efforts we have to continue. Phoenix, unfortunately for them, but unfortunately put a ton of money, significant amount of public money, to get ASU to move downtown. In fact, the president of ASU brags about it. We are going to get the same benefit because of President Shelton's vision that I really hope is continued by the interim president and the regents leadership and all that. We're going to get the same benefit with very, very minimal investment on the city's part. I mean, to get ASU downtown, it's impressive. But if you just go online, if you go online and look at the amount of investment the city of Phoenix had to make to get them downtown, I wouldn't have gone there. So I'm just hopeful that the interim president, it continues that. I know that there, and I'll be truthful about this, there are elements at the university that have a everything should stay on campus
yes.
approach. And if those folks win in the end of the day, I think we're gonna have some problems.
It's 12:25 on the Buckmaster Show, 790-2040. We would love to hear from you if you have a question for City Manager Mike Letcher. And I know many of the people out there do have questions about fixing the potholes. It looks like that was settled about how each council member, some of the money that's left over from their budget can go to, I guess, fix some of the potholes. Fix the roads.
Yeah, I want to give the really compliment the council and putting money up from their offices forward and their leadership to really press us to find money to fix the potholes.
So because they're hearing from their constituents.
Yeah, they're hearing from their constituents, and so I think short term that's good that we're moving in that direction. Our problem is because most of the work that we have done on our streets has been through the HERF fund, the Highway User Revenue Funds. The state has. And I know Mr. Huckleberry's talked about this. They have raided that account and it left us and other cities in a real bind because not only our ability to fill potholes, but more importantly, to get out ahead of the potholes and actually pave streets. HERF has been devastated. So one of the things we're going to have to ask ourselves as a city, and I don't see HERF funds coming back anytime in the future, are we going to be ready at some point, maybe in 2012, to have a bond issue strictly to do take care of the 40% to 50% of our streets that are substandard and pave those streets using our own resources through a bond that would be based on our property tax. That's a question we're going to be exploring later this year and the first part of next year with citizens. If that looks like people are willing to invest in that, we may put an issue on the ballot. But unlike our last ballot issue, we're going to survey. And unless there's a overwhelming that, yes, people are willing to invest in that, we won't put that issue on. But that's the only way we're going to be able to take care of streets long term is we've got to use some another avenue other
okay.
than HERF.
Before I turn it back over to Sarah, we had a caller, did not want to go on the air, but I'm getting the message on our state-of-the-art computer system here on the Buckmaster
Show.
And that's
actually the question I was going to
ask.
Is
it really? Somewhat the caller has same wavelength you were on.
Yes.
And the question is, what's the deal with minor league baseball at High Corbett Field?
I can't go into the particulars of the deal at High Corbett in terms of legal aspects, but it's clear that they have to perform. There's a performance provision in the Toros contract. In other words, you have to play. And if you don't play, then there is the ability for that contract to be terminated. And the situation right now is that the council, and this is again under council leadership, the council has directed us in our work plan for the next 2 years to look at uses of High Corbett, because obviously our situation is if we have a user there, they're able to maintain that field and not have it maintained by taxpayers. And it also allows for economic money in that area for if there's events as opposed to having the field idle. So right now I know there's discussions with U of A. Soccer has been in discussions, and I think at the end of the day we'll resolve that. But if the Toros don't play like it was reported in the paper, then their contract, and I think that's where we're going with the folks in the city attorney's office, can be, as I understand, terminated.
Got a quick question, Sarah? I've got less than 2 minutes.
Well, I was just wondering, that intersection in front of the parking garage downtown that's going up Congress and with the 4th Avenue underpass, and is that Tool? The whatever that – by Congress, the underpass, and Maynard's. What is the status in terms of – that's just one hairy intersection. Yeah. What's the status there? I know that it's been up for discussion before. What are we looking at?
Yeah, I'm going to have to beg off to Jim Glock for that. I know Jim's looking at it, and you're right, Sarah, that is an issue that we have to address. I will have to check with him to see what to say. It's not that it's being ignored, but I know he's working on it, but I don't have the status right now to tell you. If you want, when I get back, I can have them give you a call.
We're going to take a quick question. Slip your headset on there. Can we work this question in about potholes? Go ahead. You're on the Buckmaster Show. It has to be real quick.
I will be very quick. Michael Etcher, I was just listening to your answer about the potholes. And I have to be respectfully say, I really think that's not the right answer. It's telling the voters, the citizens, to say, hey, you got to pony up taxes and pay more money for more potholes instead of looking at the budget and finding ways to be more efficient.
Going to have to take a quick break. I'm actually going to keep Mike over just at the beginning of the roundtable to answer that question. So, Mike, stick around after the break. Okay.
Thanks, Bill.
Thanks.
SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. President Obama challenges lawmakers to do something big to reduce long-term deficits. He notes that time is running out for negotiators. Senate Republican leader Mitch McConnell says the White House talks over reducing deficits and raising the debt ceiling will likely not produce a final agreement. Rupert Murdoch is offering apologies for the phone hacking and bribery scandal that has shaken his media empire in the UK and brought down a 168-year-old newspaper, Britain's News of the World. Federal investigators have joined the probe of a minor collision involving two passenger jets last evening on a taxiway at Boston's Logan Airport. On Wall Street, heading into the final half hour of trading, the Dow is up 31 points, the Nasdaq ahead 23. More details at srnnews.com.
Biro Amore presents Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza using fresh, homemade mozzarella and the finest quality toppings. Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Biro Amore. Casual yet upscale dining with an extensive boutique wine list. Biro Amore in Tucson on North Swan at Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at viroamorepizza.com. And now in Oro Valley, Noble Hops, the Tucson area's first gastro pub.
Hi, I'm Mark Sublett, owner of Medicine Man Gallery, and I'd like to invite you to come visit me. Medicine Man Gallery is located at 7000 East Tankerverde, at the southwest corner of Tankerverde and Sabino Canyon, and online at medicinemangallery.com. With 12,000 square feet of exhibit space, we have a wide array of American paintings, antique Indian art, and contemporary modern art by some of the masters of the West, including Ed Nell, John Moyers, and Maynard Dixon. If you have old Indian art or American paintings you'd like to sell or consign, call me for a free evaluation, as we're always looking to add to our collection. If you can't visit us on Tankerverde, then visit us online. We have over 6,000 objects to view at medicinemangallery.com. So come visit me, Mark Sublett, at Medicine Man Gallery on the corner of Tankerverde and Sabino Canyon, where there's always something new to see.
Everyone's piling on big banks nowadays, with good reason. But still, you're skeptical about moving your money. We get it. But let's think about that. If you're worried about convenience, Pyramid Federal Credit Union has local branches and thousands of fee-free ATMs nationwide. If you're worried about service, at Pyramid, you're a member. At big banks, you're a number. There's a difference. And if you're worried about savings, Pyramid Federal Credit Union has better rates and fewer fees than big banks. Like our great low 4.5% APR on new, used, or refinanced vehicle loans with terms up to 60 months. Plus, save another 0.25% with payment options. So Pyramid wins on convenience, service, and savings. If you're still skeptical about moving your money, try us out. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life. Visit PyramidFCU.com to learn how. 4.5% APR on vehicle loans for a limited time. Restrictions may apply. Membership eligibility required. NCUA insured.
It's 12:30. 12:34 on the Buckmaster Show, and normally at 12:34 we start our Friday Reporters Roundtable, but we had a last-minute caller before the break about the pothole situation. So I have asked our newsmaker, our Friday Focus newsmaker, Mike Letcher, Tucson City Manager, to stick around. And in fairness to Mike, I wanted to give you enough time to answer the caller's question, which basically was that you were talking about a special, perhaps, bond election. But this caller said, hey, let's fix the potholes now. We don't need a bond election.
And Bill, I really appreciate it. The fact is that we are spending the same money last year, this year, for potholes. We are going to fix potholes. The potholes are the result of 50% of our streets being substandard, up close to 50%. What we have to do in order not to have more potholes created, it's like, you know, you fill them and they pop back out again, is we need to fix the streets. That is significant money to do that. And it's, you know, 20, 25 years of not being able to have a pavement program. So we're talking about a pavement resurfacing program, reconstruction of the streets that would be a part of a bond. The council, the money that they allocated is not just for potholes. It's also about paving streets, because how you avoid potholes is to really take care of your streets. And so that's what we're asking people. We can continue to fill potholes. We're trying to make sure, why should we try to constantly keep up with potholes when we can take at least half of the streets that are substandard, bring them up to standard, which means they'll last for 20 years. It'll give us a chance then to use our other money to keep paving and catching up with the streets that are in good condition. And if we do it right, you know, we'll have better streets here in Tucson. That's what we're going to be asking citizens, because otherwise it's going to be the way it's always been. Let's fill the potholes and see if we can, you know, just keep up with that.
And people are furious about this.
Yeah, they are, absolutely. But this is not a situation that hasn't been here and present in this community. I mean, 10 years ago when I got here, I hit a huge pothole on Houghton in my car. And I got to work.
The alignment,
and
right?
I got to work, and I asked the engineering department, what's going on? And I said, they said, we don't have any program to do street paving on a scheduled basis. So this isn't something that's new.
Okay.
And I think people that have lived here for 15, 20 years know that it's not.
All right. Tucson City Manager Mike Letcher. Mike, thank you very much for being on the Buckmaster Show. It's 12:37, and it's now time for our Friday Reporters Roundtable. This is our opportunity for local journalists to sound off on the week's top stories. Joining me on the Friday Roundtable today, Mark Evans of TucsonCitizen.com and Sarah Garrett Gasson of the Arizona Daily Star. And again, we welcome you to join in the conversation. If you have a comment on any of the big stories of the week, you can call 790-2040 for the Buckmaster Show live line. Mark, Sarah, good to see you both. Well, Sarah, you're still with me from the interview with Mike Letcher, and we appreciate you being. Mark, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Let's begin with the United States resuming the 8-year program that flies undocumented immigrants caught at the border to Mexico City during the hot summer months as part of an effort to stem illegal immigration, I guess to cut down on the smuggling organizations and to prevent migrant deaths. We were talking with Keith Rosenblum, who contributes to this program. Keith used to be with the Star and the Republic as a border reporter, and he thinks it's just a huge waste of money. That was Keith's opinion. What's your take on this, Mark Evans?
Well, the idea is that if you catch them here, it's like, you know, it's a fisher. You catch and fish. You catch the same fish if you go out and you just catch the fish and release it, and then you catch the fish again. And that was kind of what was happening, where they come across the border, they catch them, they put them on a bus, drive them to the border, let them go. They go find their local smuggler, and they go right back across and get caught again. So the idea was fly them all the way back to Mexico City, have the Mexican government put them on a bus and take them to their hometowns, and then it becomes quite the ordeal again for them to get all the way back to the border, and perhaps maybe they'll see the error of their ways and try to make it a go of it where they are. But if they were desperate enough to leave in the first place, they're going to be desperate enough to leave again. And so, you know, there's a question as to whether it's really effective or not, or just something to make it more burdensome for the illegal immigrants. So And they only do it in the summer months. And so I don't know whether it's successful or not. I don't know whether they're compiling any data with the Mexican government about how many people they're re-catching again after they've flown them back to Mexico City.
And the piece in the Arizona Daily Star, I forget who the reporter was, but did point out that the whether or not this program is successful is a huge question mark.
Yeah, and it was Brady McCombs from the Star who wrote it. Yeah, it's as Mark was saying, it's the way that the Border Patrol has traditionally kept the data, it's apprehension. So you don't know if it's the same people coming across and across and across. And so it's unclear how many people have been deterred from coming back after they've been sent home. But the problem is that the number of deaths in the desert have been increasing over the past decade. They've fallen off a bit, but from years to years. But it's the kind of thing that if you are so desperate that you are going to leave your family and your kids and your hometown because there's no jobs, there's no economic way to support yourself and your family, that's not going to change because you've been shipped back to where you started. And so the fact remains that you can ship everyone who you catch, you could probably try to send them back to their hometowns, and it's not going to solve the problem, and it's not going to solve the underlying cause of why people come north, and it's not going to solve the underlying problem of why people feel that they have to cross illegally across the desert rather than coming through illegal means. Until that is fixed and the politicians in Washington get their act together and actually come up with a workable immigration policy, it's just not going to change.
And if the stated goal is to prevent border deaths, then it's not working because border deaths have remained fairly constant, even though the amount of people coming across has fluctuated. There's fewer people coming across now than since the early 2000s, and yet the amount of deaths are still roughly the same as when, 500,000 were coming across in 2006.
And, Sarah, you really make a good point because you can sort of picture in your mind these people, they're flown back, then they're put on a bus to their particular town or village or city, and they get home and they've still got the same problems economically or by now, maybe those problems have compounded, they're worse. So you can just in your mind see this individual, man or woman, probably figuring out, well, how do we go about planning to go back to El Norte?
Right, because, it is not inexpensive to try to make the journey north. And if you end up back where you started, it might make people feel like we're doing something, but it's confusing activity with achievement, and it's just not – it's not productive. It's not keeping people from dying. It's not keeping people from coming, and it's not the way to fix the global problem.
And it's fairly expensive, and I've argued this is a two-sided problem. This is not just legal immigrants coming across our border. It is Americans giving them jobs. If they weren't getting the jobs, they wouldn't be coming because there'd be no reason to. So, and this is a pretty expensive program. I think that money might be better spent both here in cracking down on employers employing legal immigrants and in helping the Mexican government solve its own problems so that they don't have a reason to leave their own countries in the first place.
Special election will be called to recall the man many consider to be the most powerful figure in Arizona politics, State Senator and Senate President Russell Pierce. The Secretary of State's office has set this for a November election. Sarah Garrett Gaston of the Arizona Daily Star. What any feeling about – is Pierce in trouble, do you think?
Well, if it was a statewide election, I think he might be. But it's going to be the thing is about the recall election. And I've talked to people who think he's gone. He's not gone. People get confused with the intricacies of the recall process. All this did, and it's a huge achievement for the people who want him out of office, I think, to get the people in his district, get enough signatures to say, yes, we want basically a do-over to say, do we want to keep him or do we want to replace him with someone else? That's basically what a recall election is. And so he will be up for election in November. The key will be, will the people in his district, when it comes right down to it, will they be able to find someone who can run against him? He's extremely powerful. Will they find someone who has the name recognition, who has the background, the appeal, and this is very important, who is willing to go up against an extremely influential, extremely powerful, and not always so nice political player in the Republican circles to run against him and make him very, very mad? And can that person win? So yeah,
he's going to play hardball.
Oh, of course he
going
is.
Going after the kneecaps.
So it's the kind of thing where if it was a statewide election, I think he would probably have a very good chance of having to find a new career. But with it having in his own district, I don't know.
He, the people who recalled him made a big deal about, they turned in 18,000 signatures, which was more votes than he had gotten. However, 8,000 of those signatures were rejected, which not a lot of people have been paying much attention to other than the Republicans who have been trying to change the subject and say, look at all this voter fraud that went on. I don't know if it was voter fraud, but they did have quite a considerable number of their petition signatures rejected.
That was Randy Peraz, who was a
he's one of the co-chairs
Democratic,
I think, of the
U.S. Senate candidate.
Right, who doesn't live in District 18.
But they did make a huge deal about the quantity of the signatures, but we didn't really hear much follow-up, as you say, about the validity of
them. They got 10,000 of them that were approved by the Maricopa County Recorder's Office, and then was that was endorsed, I guess, I can't think of the right word, by the Secretary of State's office. So, validated. So you had 8,000 of those signatures that turned out to be invalid. But besides that, it doesn't matter. He got recalled. So now what? Well, first of all, if you're a Republican in that district, you've got to be willing to not only take on Pierce, but you've got to be willing to take on your own Republican Party by taking on one of your brethren. Because there's no way a Democrat's going to get elected in that district. It's a Republican safe district, which is brings up the issue of redistricting. And then if they run stalking horses, which most people expect them to do, and you've got 3, 4, 5 different people to vote for, if there is a rejection vote, people that are going to the polls specifically to vote against Pierce, then they have lots of choices. You're going to get a big vote split, and there's going to be a percentage of people who will go to the polls to vote for Pierce. Then he will probably rise above that and win the election. And all this will end up being tempest in a teacup and mostly symbolic. I don't see Pierce getting losing the election.
Rick Grinnell is back in city politics. Rick Grinnell, a Republican, will mount a recall attempt to secure a place on the general election ballot. I was thinking about the Russell Pierce recall.
Right.
No one runs trying to recall me, please.
Right. So Rick Grinnell, he's spent a lot of time in public service in this community. He is a member of the Rio Nuevo board, mm-hmm. and I'm not sure if he has to leave the board or if that means anything with him running for an election or anything like that.
Well, he said that in a piece in the Star that he would give he does political or lobbying, and that he would, if elected, I think he said he would give up his lobbying efforts,
okay.
which kind of seems a bit late in my view, but what do I know? But the thing is, you got to wonder if he said he didn't get into the race to begin with because of the time and the effort and the pull away from his livelihood, you know, that a campaign would take. I don't know that the time and effort for a write-in candidacy and race you have to introduce yourself and you have to teach people how to spell your name and get
right.
them to go to the polls to not only just, you know, mark the little thing next to your name, you have to write it in and it's much more difficult.
Do you know how many signatures are there?
And let's be clear, he is running as a write-in in the primary.
Okay.
So he only needs since there's no other Republican candidate, he needs 1,060 write-in signatures who spell his name properly to put him on the general election ballot.
Yeah.
So I think that he'll get 1,000. You would hope that the Republicans in the city can get 1,060
party
people
to
after what just happened with them.
Here's the way you spell Mr.
Right.
Grinnell's name.
And, And, you know, this is the kind of candidate that they should have been running all along. I mean,
yes.
The Republicans have been complaining about the way the Democrats have been running this city quite, you know, vociferously. I mean, they've been really loud about how they don't like it. And yet they not only had a couple of candidates who, you know, had some problems and some baggage, but were kind of never heard of them. And then they didn't get their petitions in properly, and they got bounced off the ballot. So this is kind of a way for the Republican Party in Tucson to redeem itself. I think he'll get the signatures necessary as a write-in, and that he will get onto the ballot. And that I think is what Tucson needs. It sets up an election in the general election that would be between Grinnell and Rothschild, where there would be a serious debate on the issues and the direction that the city's going.
There would be a third candidate, too, because there is a primary in the Green Party. Mary DeCamp and Dave Croteau.
I always forget about the Green Party.
Well, the Greens will be there, too, and it looks like Republicans and Democrats are going to do it. That's going to be our Friday Reporters Roundtable. We have Weekend Watch coming up next. Mark Evans and Sarah Garrett-Gasson, both of you, have a great weekend.
Thanks. You too. You too.
Okay, thanks a lot. Stay with us.
If you're having foot or lower back pain, you're not alone. My foot doctor recommended custom foot orthotics created by Bob Novak. Bob is a certified pedorthist and best in Southern Arizona at creating just the right foot support at a price you can afford. Please give Bob Novak, the owner of Arizona Limb and Brace, a call at 795-2553 or visit Bob at Rosemont and 5th. I did, and my feet thank me every day.
Let Karimi Oriental Rugs keep your valuable area rugs looking like new with Tucson's finest cleaning, repair, and restoration services. Karimi specializes in restoring antique, silk, and Navajo rugs with 100% satisfaction guarantee. Karimi Oriental Rugs appraises and purchases quality rugs and offers a vast selection of hand-woven rugs from around the world. Be sure to stop by Karimi Oriental Rugs at Fort Lowland Dodge or on the web at KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit Service. With 30 projects under construction, including Tankerverde Road and the Catalina Highway to Houghton and the bus pullout at Ina and Oracle, please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you. Listed on the National Register of Historic Places and founded by Isabella Greenway, Arizona's first congresswoman, the Arizona Inn is still the standard bearer for luxury hospitality in Midtown Tucson, just minutes from the University of Arizona. Founded in 1930, the Arizona Inn continues to win top honors for hospitality and dining. Travel and Leisure magazine names the Arizona Inn one of the top 500 hotels in the world for 2011. And the Arizona Inn is proud of its AAA 4-diamond status for both the hotel and dining room. Whether it's for breakfast, lunch, or dinner, or a private event, you can count on Chef Allison's featured seasonal culinary creations to please. The Arizona Inn, a special oasis of hospitality in Midtown Tucson, 2200 East Elm, and on the web at arizonainn.com.
Hi, I'm Mark Sublett, owner of Medicine Man Gallery, and I'd like to invite you to come visit me. Medicine Man Gallery is located at 7000 East Tankerverde, at the southwest corner of Tankerverde and Sabino Canyon, and online at medicinemangallery.com. With 12,000 square feet of exhibit space, we have a wide array of American paintings, antique Indian art, and contemporary modern art by some of the masters of the West, including Ed Nell, John Moyers, and Maynard Dixon. If you have old Indian art or American paintings you'd like to sell or consign, call me for a free evaluation, as we're always looking to add to our collection. If you can't visit us on Tankerverde, then visit us online. We have over 6,000 objects to view at medicinemangallery.com. So come visit me, Mark Sublett, at Medicine Man Gallery, on the corner of Tanca Verde and Sabino Canyon, where there's always something new to see.
It's time for the weekend, 12:54 on the Buckmaster Show, and that music always heralds our weekend beginning and weekend watch with Matt Russell, Tucson publicist, dedicated foodie, general good guy around town. You'll probably see him hanging out at local restaurants, and right now he's hanging out at probably a restaurant up in Scottsdale. Hey, Matt, how are you?
I'm doing great, Bill. And in fact, I am at the lovely Scottsdale Fairmont Princess Hotel. I'm just about to enjoy a lovely client dinner at the LV Bistro, which beautifully overlooks the pool. It's a beautiful day up here in Scottsdale, and I just can't get enough of this great weather.
That is a beautiful property, that Fairmont property up there.
Yeah, I mean, it's like a community in and of itself. I think the place is big enough to have its own zip code and mayor, for crying out loud.
You certainly have been getting around. A week ago, you were in San Diego for your weekend watch. And then 2 weeks ago, as I recall, you did the weekend watch here on the Buckmaster Show after being up sleep-deprived after 30 hours. You had tried to get some sleep in the Denver airport in front of your gate after the flight from, I think it was Aspen to Denver was canceled?
Very good memory. Yeah, I was locked up in the Denver airport for 12 hours, went 30 hours without sleep. Now I'm in Scottsdale making up for lost time. I haven't done a weekend watch segment in Tucson for a while, so hopefully next Friday I'll be in the comforts of home to give your listeners a good sense of what's on tap for the weekend.
What's going on this weekend from what you've been able to gather? I understand the summer concert series is back.
Absolutely. I'm up at La Encantada Shopping Center on Skyline and Campbell. They have rolled out their summer concert series. So this Saturday night at 7 o'clock p.m. in the main courtyard, they're going to have the River Road Ramblers, a nationally known performing act. Dixieland, jazz, bluegrass, kind of fusion music is going to be kicking off there at La Encantada at 7 o'clock. Of course, some world-class restaurants up at La Encantada, a great place to do some shopping, some great dining, and to hear some fantastic live music on Saturday night.
And for all our classic car show fans, and it's too bad you're not going to be in town this weekend. You'd be over at Little Anthony's Diner, and you'd probably be driving that 57 Ford Fairlane convertible that you...
Absolutely. You know, Happy Days was one of my favorite TV shows growing up as a kid, and every time I go to Little Anthony's and take my kids with me, I just sort of hear that Sunday, Monday, Happy Days TV theme song going through my head. But in fact, Saturday night, they're going to have this great classic car show. They're going to have a live DJ, hula hoop contest, bubble gum blowing contest. Of course, what 50s diner experience would be complete without the bunny hop. They're going to have jumping castles, everything for the kids. And again, some great meal options, you know, going back to the 1950s with some authentic hamburgers, some great shakes, some malts. This is a great family-friendly, fun activity for Saturday.
Yeah, nothing like a burger with a real milkshake.
Oh, yeah.
Remember those?
You actually had a real milkshake.
Remember those real milkshakes we had with the, you know, they were in the tin and the whole thing. I mean, that was cool.
Yeah, you sit up at the counter and you're just treated like first class.
Yeah. Hey, what about Tucson Originals?
Yeah, every summer, as your listeners know, the Tucson Originals member restaurants do great specials, and there's a number of them which you can find on TucsonOriginals.com, a number of restaurants offering specials throughout the summer for only $20.11. And so we're going to be talking to your listeners every Friday about the participating restaurants, but I'm going to encourage all of your listeners to go out to Renee's Organic Oven, which is over there on Tanca Verde and Sabino Canyon Road. Their summer special this summer is a beautiful pepperonata pizza with two glasses of true organic red wine, and that entire package is only $20.11.
I want to put a plug in for Vero Amore. You know that's the preferred pizza place for the Buckmaster Show. There are two locations, and of course, their newest location, Noble Hops, really is doing great guns booming out there in Oro Valley.
Yeah, you know, Vero Amore, another proud member of the Tucson Originals. I love everything that they do. And in fact, I was talking to my assistant just yesterday who had her first encounter at Noble Hobson. She just had so much great things to say. The ambiance, the setting, of course, the food and the beer is the centerpiece experience, but just that incredible setting that that team has created out there in the Northwest. I hear the views are completely unsurpassed.
All right, Matt Russell, have a great weekend. Here's your theme music. We'll see you perhaps with Weekend Watch in Tucson next week. Thanks, Matt.
Have a great weekend.
Thank you. The Buckmaster Show is brought to you in part by Flowers Rieger and Associates, Certified Public Accountants. Our good friends Mike Flower over there at flowersrieger.com on the web, and they're located at 2919 East Broadway. Check it out. The Buckmaster Show is a production of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC. On behalf of Team Buckmaster, all three of us, our producer Rosemary Brandt and our marketing director Deborah Howard, and we want to thank Jose, who's been running the board of the Buckmaster Show intern. What a great job he has done. I'm Bill Buckmaster, wishing you a wonderful and safe weekend. Have a great weekend.
KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. 930 KAPR Douglas and 1240 KJAA Globe, the Voice Radio Network.